I was working all day to keep my voice.
I know.
But they did a pretty good job of causing me to use mine up. I came up with this lesson because we went on this cruise. I told a couple people. We couldn't find anybody else who was a member of the church. Anybody else would even want to do anything. I didn't turn it on. I was talking. How's this? Is that better? So, I do wonder why. But it's hard to find somebody which was there. And plus, they didn't set up a place to have an assembly to even do a worship. So it was really difficult to keep your mind on God and to praise God. But the one thing, I have a helpmate which is able to get us through this. Joy is something we long for, every one of us do, and it's difficult to grab hold of. We experience joy with everything we do, and it should be a part of our Christian life. Amen. We should strive to have this joy. Experiencing joy is, like I said, what we should have in everyone's life. Joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's produced by God working in us. And it is part of God's will for us. We know that even the most mature Christians experience periods of doubt and depression. It's so easy to get tied up with the world and the problems of the world. And we forget God's there to help us. I have a couple verses in Job. I'm going to read Chapter 3, verse 11. Why did I not die at birth? Come forth from the wound and expire. This is a time of depression that he had. David prayed to be taken away to a place where he would not have to deal with reality. In Psalms 55, 6 and 8, it says, I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. Shiah, I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy winds and the tempest. Elijah, even after he defeated the 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel with fire called down from heaven, in 1 Kings 18:38, then the fires of God, of the Lord, fell and consumed and burnt the burnt offering in the wood, in the stones, in the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell to their face, and they said, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. After he killed the prophets of Baal, he fled into the desert, and he asked God to take his life. And the reason he fled is, we go to Kings, the 19th chapter, starting with verse 1 and reading through 5. Now, Ahab told Jezebel all Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And he was afraid, and he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a Jupiter tree. And he requested for him that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father. And he laid down and slept under the Jupiter tree, And behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, arise and eat. If these men go through struggles in their life, even with everything that God does to support them, you know, and they still have doubts and, you know, even to the point of wanting to be taken away from the presence of other people or even being having their life taken. The first thing is to realize that joy is a gift from God. And I looked up joy. I wanted to find out what it meant. In the Hebrew, it says, first thing to realize that joy is a gift. I mean, the root word for joy is the joy in the Greek is shiara, which means joy or delight, which is closely related to the Greek word charis, which is grace and kindness. Joy is both a gift of God as well as a response to the gift. God's joy comes when we are aware of God's grace and relish his favor. Rather than dwelling on the difficulties of our daily lives, which robs us from being content and being able to go through life in a happy and being able to dwell on God's thoughts, I mean, put our thoughts on God. It's not to say that it's a difficult not to think of the negative and the discontent of our emotions. Following these examples of many of the psalmists, we can pour out our hearts to God. We can tell him bluntly all the things that ail us. But when we submit those things to him, remember who he is and are happy in him. And that's what we should do. We should be happy in God for what he's done for us. In Psalms, the third chapter in verse 3, these are some of the psalmist's thoughts on their praise to God and their thanks to him. And so Psalms 3:3, it says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, the glory and the one who lifts my head. In Psalms 13:5, but I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In Psalms 18:1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am safe from my enemies. Psalms 43:1. Vindicate me, O God, he pleaded my case against ungodly nations. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppressions of my enemies? Oh, send me your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you. O God, my God, why are you in despair? O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. In Psalms 103:3 says, who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgment for all who are oppressed. These things show our trust should be in God. Each and every one of these psalmists wrote these things to God and praised God for what he'd done. We are given some guidance for experiencing joy in our life, our Christian life. Philippians, the fourth chapter in verse 4 through 8. Now here's Paul writing whenever he's in jail. He's writing these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, and if any worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We see the importance of praising God. We end up getting so much in our life every day, and you need to thank somebody for something, and it's God who gives you this, and this is who we should be thanking. We can experience joy when we intentionally praise him. And David even explains about what you can get out of God's word. And he tells you this in Psalms 19 and verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When we experience joy with God whenever we go to him in prayer and we tell him the things that he's done for us and how much we're thankful for him. Jesus also gave us instruction regarding joy in John, the 15th chapter. He talks about abiding in him and obeying him. In John 15, verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in him, in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. One of the keys to joy is living in obedience to God, following his word and doing what he commands us. This gives us joy to know that we're satisfying God and what he wants us to do. God gave Elijah rest after he ran from Jezebel, went out in the desert. He spent the time getting nourished and getting to sleep. And then God gave Elijah rest, sending a man, Elisha, to help him. In 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21, so he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So he returned from following him, took a pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him. God seeing that Elijah needed someone to help support him in what he was doing, somebody physically there with him. And that's why Elisha was sent to Elijah. And this is the one thing which strengthened him. It will strengthen both of them. Christians, I strengthen my wife. She strengthens me. I strengthen Daryl. He strengthens me.
Amen.
I strengthen Kurt, and he strengthens me. That's what we're to be doing as Christians. We're to be helping one another in our lives. We need friends that can share our hurts and our problems. And everybody knows when you have a wife, or a wife has a husband, they support each other. They're there for them at all times. We need friends that can share our hurts and pain. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them fall, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls where there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 19 through 25, says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw nearer with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience in our body, washed in the pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day draw near. Because the grace of God, we can approach God, and we are joined into a community, a group of people who all have the same goal and all have the same love of God. And with our fellowship, with fellow believers, we hold firm to our faith, trusting in the charter of God. We also encourage one another. Christians do not belong to this world. Whenever you're in the world, you're free game for the devil. Whenever you keep yourself away from the church, you're making yourself weak and are weaker. So I want to read John, the 17th chapter, verse 14 through 17. John 17, 14 through 17. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are of the world. Hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. In Philippians 3, verse 20, it reads, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We long to be with God, and we want to be kept strong in our love of God. And that's the reason we need the fellowship of one another. I know sometimes that just coming to church whenever I got problems and being around other Christians, I'm strengthened. My burdens seem to be lifted. And I'll guarantee you, any time that you do not want to come to services, you're trying to make an excuse why you don't want to be here, I guarantee if you make it, and after services,
you feel better than what you did before you came. It always turns out that way.
Why was I feeling so bad? It's just, you just have to put your mind on God and His Word. In Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." And also in Colossians 3:12, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should." Also should you. "Behold, all these things put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity." Joy is meant to be a hallmark of a Christian's life. It should show in your life, your happiness and everything else. I told you whenever I came back from my trip the first Sunday back, the feeling of being back in the church, being back in the building, and being back around Christians, being back around my brothers and sisters, actually made me feel much better than what I could even expect. We have problems. You got God always. You pray to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and ask for the forgiveness of your sins. Ask for help. That's a strong thing. You can get what you want if you really need it. And by asking for it, if you sin, you can be forgiven. This is what this verse here is saying. How can you not forgive your brother if Christ has forgiven you for all the things you've done? It's so important to put that aside. If you go to bed having a dislike for a brother in Christ, you've got a problem, and you better pray on it. And that's what the important thing is. Prayer is the way that we have to take care of many of our problems, which we so often forget to do. But if there is anybody that has a need, the opportunity is yours, as we sing the invitation song.